Yeah, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. And good morning to you. It is Friday. As they say, thank goodness it is Friday. So welcome to the number one talk radio station. And my name is Mike Oshaveli. And thank you, Mr. David, for bringing us early morning scoop. And those information that we really, 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 our public and ourselves actually need to know. Well, welcome to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Very good morning to you. If you just joining us, our time is about 36 minutes past the hour of 7. This is Unpacking the Day. Starts at 7:30. Is a daily show that starts at 7:30 until 9:30 from Monday to Friday. So today is the 25th of July 2025. So let's get to our segment that's looking at on this day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? So on 25th of July 1957, Tunisia abolished the monarchy through a parliamentary vote and declared itself a republic. So this marked a pivotal shift in Tunisia's political history, officially ending the monarchical rule under the last Bey. The date is commemorated as Republic Day in Tunisia. So on the 25th, on the very same day, on the 25th July 1993, members of the Azania People's Liberation Army, APLL, the APLA, attacked St. James Church in Kenilworth. That's Cape Town. 11 congregants were killed and many more wounded. So the attackers later received amnesty via the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that happened in South Africa. So in our today is every year on the 25th of July, Africa celebrate the Day of Seas and Oceans. So today is Africa Day of Seas and Oceans, which highlight the importance of marine environment, and the sustainable management of maritime resources around the continent. So happy Africa Day of Seas and Oceans. So this is the day where we highlight the importance of marine environment and the sustainable management of maritime resources around the continent. So that's all what we have on this day, Africa, on this day in Africa. Those are some of the significant events that happen on this day. So 25th of July, what is our thought for the day today? What is sweet in a fool's mouth will surely finish his money. What is sweet in a fool's mouth will surely finish his money. So the proverb warns that easy gain a fool enjoy, the easy gains a fool enjoy, however sweet, will ultimately deplete his resources and lead to ruin. So essentially, short-term indulgence or ill-gotten gain brings brief delight, but ends in loss. So the proverb cautions against impulsive spending, risk-taking without planning, or profiting from dishonesty. So these proverbs encourage anyone, especially those at risk of impulsive or shallow decisions, to pause and reflect, is the sweetness worth the eventual cost? Is the sweetness worth the eventual cost? So that's our thought for the day. What is sweet in a mouth's in a fool's mouth will surely finish his money. So wherever you find yourself today, and the decision that you make, maybe as we looked at this, pause and reflect, is this something that worth, is this sweetness, whatever decision, is this sweetness worth the eventual cost? So welcome to Eagle FM, and you are on Unpacking the Day live from Ondangwa studio. So what you can expect today, what you will expect today on the show, what you will expect today on the programs. Today on the show, we will looking at, because today is the day of, day of African seas and oceans. So we will look at the illegal fishing. There's a story on illegal fishing by foreign trawlers, by foreign trawlers. And Namibia is actually struggling to contain this illegal fishing. So we're going to look at that because it's very interesting story. And then at 8:30, I will have a guest looking at can Namibia's NDP6 that has just been launched deliver jobs? Specifically, we're going to look at, can it deliver this NDP6? Can it deliver jobs? And, or is it just another document that will end up on the shelf? So we're going to look at that. We have someone who's a very experienced, to talk to and analyze a little bit on that. So, and at 9 o'clock, we will have a discussion from the Ministry of Health, looking at the role of the HIP, the HPV vaccine in the prevention of the cervical cancer. So, as you can see, it's actually fully packed on Friday, and make sure that you stay tuned for all this informative a topic that we gonna look at. So stay tuned, we're gonna come back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you joining us on Unpacking the Day. So on this beautiful, beautiful Friday, this is getting summer already, because at this part of the world, it's really getting already extremely hot. So, and it's gonna be really a short winter. It's a matter of weeks. It's a matter of weeks. There hasn't been really a time where I felt, oh, today's cold. So far, on this part of the world, I haven't really felt any day where I really felt, this is really, really cold. So, yeah, things are changing. Things are honestly changing. And it's worrying. It's worrying, honestly. It looks already that winter is gone, because from this part of the world, we already just, you're in your T-shirt. And I have never, so far, as I said, I have never felt it's really cold. Yeah, so maybe we need to change. We need to start changing the seasons. So sooner or later we are not going to have winters anymore. Maybe in certain part of the country, but places like the north, winter is disappearing. It's disappearing. All right. Good morning, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. You know what? You know, when you look at when you look out at our coast, at the Atlantic Oceans, if you have been there, what do you see? I see a beauty. I see life. I see job for our people. I see food on our tables. When I'm looking at the sea, I see food on our tables. So our ocean is actually our treasure. It's our treasure, our fish, our famous hake, our horse mackerel. That's our inheritance. So, but what if I told you that every single night while we are sleeping, every single night while we are sleeping, thieves are sneaking into our water and stealing from that treasure? What would you say? So that's what we are talking about this morning. That's what we're talking about this morning. So there is a new report. A new report making the round, and it paints a pretty worrying picture. It tells a story that is apparently happening all the time. So what could normally happen is that what could normally happen is that a Namibian patrol boat spot a blip on the radar when they are patrolling. It's a foreign ship, fishing ship, a big trawler, and it is known for illegal fishing. So it is sneaking across our sea border with Angola. So our guys on the boat see it. They call the head office in Wavish Bay. So the alarm goes out to the Navy, to the fishery department, and everyone is alerted. And then nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nada. Why? Because we don't have a patrol vessels up there to intercept them. the thief gets away again and again and again. So this is what's happening in our waters. That's what's happening in our waters. So the report says we are losing more than 8 million Namibian dollars every single year to these illegal fishing boats. And think really, really, really hard about that for a second. $8 million. Eighty million Namibian dollars every single year. How many clinics could that build? That $80 million, how many clinics could that build? How many school books could that buy, actually? How many boreholes could that drill for communities in need? So $80 million, that's massive money. And it could make a big, big difference. But every year, we lose that resources. We lose that money. Well, it is not just money, okay? It's about people's lives. It's about people's lives. And the article states that over 18,000 jobs is actually over 18 jobs in our fishing industry are at risk. That's another concern. So there are people working at the factories in Wavish Bay and Lutres. So 18 jobs could be at risk for those people. And imagine what we lose every year, $80 million Namibian due to that illegal fishing boats. So, and when you talk about these 18 jobs being at risk, 18,000 being at risk, so these are people working, you know, in our waters, and the fishermen on our local boats, these are fishermen on our local boats, their families, your neighbors, you have to worry about their families, you have to worry, this could be your neighbors, or maybe even you, listening to me. Even you, it could be maybe even you. So, our own fishing industry leaders, are sounding the alarm. They are speaking about it. They are frustrated. And you can hear it in their words, in what they say, you can see that they are frustrated. It's something that they keep saying and it seems to be nothing is being done. And they are saying that, and they have been saying that for too long, and we have let outsider come and plunder our fish. We're letting, illegal boat come in and actually plunder our fish and really exploit our waters and plunder our fish. So now the fishing industry leaders, they believe we need to stop relying on other governments, actually to police our waters. We don't seem to have that capability. So we have other government actually policing our waters. So we have, they're saying we have to do it ourselves. And you have to say they are right, actually. They have a point. What kind of a country that cannot actually protect their own waters? So how are these foreign crews getting away with it? How are they getting away with it? So, and it is quite clever, in a criminal sort of way. So there is a way they go, actually, there's a way they're getting away with it. There is a way that how they are getting away with this. So one of their main tricks is something called flagged of convenience. Flag of convenience, it is exactly in the name. These trawlers, another country's flags. Okay. So let's say, for example, it's a China boat in the waters, and then they put on another country's boat, and that make it much harder to track down the real owners now of the boat. So a ship might be owned by a company in China, but it will fly the flag of a small country like Cameroon. Well, Cameroon is not a small country, but I'm just giving an example. So would fly, put on a small country flag, for example, Cameroon. Now, this is actually to hide its identity and also to dodge our rules and fees. You see? And they are very sneaky. They are very sneaky. The report mentioned that these vessels will turn off their tracking system, their AIS, as it's called. And just they do that right before they cross into our waters. So they become a ghost ship, actually. So you don't see them. You don't track them. So they come in. Once they come in, they scoop up, they scoop up tons and tons and tons of fish. And then they slip back across the border into Angola's water. Turn their tracker. Now, once they get into Angola, then they turn their tracker back on and pretend it like nothing happened. Pretended nothing happened at all. Nada. No. From there, now, the other thing then is from there, they often move the stolen fish to another giant ship at the sea. So that by the time the fishing boat comes into a port, maybe let's say, for example, in Cape Town, for example, so it is empty. It is empty. You no fish, no evidence, no crime. So it's a very organized operation, according to the report, or according to the article. So the article points a lot now. The article exactly points a lot of fingers. It mentioned vessel linked to China and Russia. So, and it talks about how they exploit the loopholes in Angola, and it's true. The evidence shows these foreign syndicates are those ones on those boats. So, yeah, that's a loophole that they exploit in Angola and then get into Namibia. So. But there is something missing, okay? But there is something missing. And you know, this is unpacking, and that's what we do here. There is something missing. Yes, okay. We need to look at what might be missing from... What is that might be missing from this story? So we see that the article this tells us what the outsider are doing. But it doesn't ask enough question about what is or what is not happening right here at home. What is happening at home? Now, so when we hear that the Navy is alerted, but no boat is available. So that's in that regard. When the Navy is alerted and there's no boat is available, we have to ask. Remember at the beginning when I said, so we have to ask why. Why? Is it a lack of funding? Do we not have enough patrol ships? Or how do you call them? Or or could be? Is it the political will to act? Maybe the political will to act is simply not there. Well, the report doesn't even feature a comment from a Ministry of Defense or our Ministry of Fisheries to answer this. We'll come back.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
No matter where you are.
All right, welcome back. So we're talking about illegal fishing in Namibia's water by foreign trawlers. So now I was saying, when we hear now that, when we hear that the Navy is alerted, but normally, apparently, no, there's no boat is available. Sound familiar? It's like when we have a police, they could be alerted of the crime taking place and there's no vehicle available. Story of Namibia, you know. So, as I said, we have to really to ask, why is it, you know, because that's the fundamental, that's the issue. Is it a lack of funding that we don't have these? Do we not have enough? Why don't we have enough patrol in our waters? Why don't we have enough patrol ships? So I was saying, or could be, political will? Is there no political will to act? So, and the report, as I said, even when you look at the report, this article, it doesn't even feature a comment from a Ministry of Defense or our Ministry of Fishery to answer to this. And that is a big piece. And that is a big piece of the puzzle that is actually missing. And this flag of convenience business, you know, when we talk about this flag of convenience. So for a foreign ship to fly a flag from an African nation or to enter into a joint venture, somebody locally has to be involved. Could be. Somebody locally has to be involved. So are our own laws too weak? Maybe. Maybe it's because our own laws are too weak. Are there loopholes that are being exploited? Is it easy to blame the outsiders who comes to steal? It is easy. It is easy to, we can blame them. But did we leave the door unlocked? Yeah? So we can blame, okay. But if you leave your door unlocked, definitely, you know, thieves will come in too, will come. Yeah? And did we leave the door unlocked deliberately? Did someone on the inside help them? These are questions. These are uncomfortable questions. But we have to ask them. Eh? If we want real answers, if we want real solutions, we have to ask them. Well, it's not all bad. According to the article, it's not all bad news. There is a new project starting up with our neighbors, Angola and South Africa, to share information. That's a new project, sharing of information, to create a list of suspicious vessels so that if one is turned away from Wavish Bay, for example, so they can't just go and dock now in Cape Town or in Luanda or something. So, well, this is a good step because cooperation is always good. So, but the report also, the report itself also admit that this is not enough. So it is not enough. A shared list is useless if we don't have now a boat on the water to act on the information. You could be actually have now this information available, but if you don't have a boat, you know, boats on water to act on that information, it's absolutely useless. So it is useless if we are not brave enough to, let's say, to refuse license to ship with shady histories, because there are those that have shady histories. So we had that, you know, if we have, you know, that enough, they're brave enough to actually refuse those license, to refuse them license. Or it's useless if we don't demand to know who really owned these vessels. Not just the name of some fake companies. Who really owned those vessels? Well, at the end of the day, this is our fish. It is our fish. It's our economy. It's our future. So protecting it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. And that's why we alert you to that here. So now, as you go about your day today, I want you to think. I really want you to think. Imagine $80 million that we lose because of this, you know, illegal fishing in our waters. $80 million a year, that's a lot of money that could do a lot. So I want you to think. And this is not just about the foreign trawlers. Yeah? It's really about our ability to stand up. Our ability to stand up and protect what is rightfully ours. So do we have that ability? And we can't go on losing, you know, every year losing such resources while we have actually people, you know, dying of hungers or swimming in poverty. So my question to you is this. Who do you think should be held most accountable for the theft of our fish? Who do you think should be held most accountable for the theft of our fish? That's my question to you. So I open up my line. As I said, at 8 o'clock, we will get into another segment where we will have a guest and looking at the NDP6. And is it, would that create employment? Or, because that's our last, you know, that's our last before we get to 2030. So that's what we're going to look at. So, but for now, for this one, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So, yep, I have a little bit of a flu. And that's why probably my voice is a bit deep. So excuse me. I have a little bit of, a bit of that. So, all right. So do come through. What do you think? What do you think about this? And my question that I ask, and today is African Days of Oceans and Seas. So this is what happening in our waters and losing a lot of resources that could actually change the lives of many Namibians. And we talked about that our people that are working at the sea, Wavish Bay and Ledros, are also 18,000 of those are also at risk of their jobs are also at risk because of this illegal fishing in our waters. And it's something that's coming a long way. Believe me, this is something, it's not just something that has been talked about. It's something that is coming a long way, and it doesn't seem that we are doing something substantial to change that situation. So, what do you think? You live in that coast, you live in that part of the world, you hear this on a daily basis. So if you're in Wavish or Ludrit, come through and talk to us. Maybe if you work or if you work, if you work in the sea, if you work on the boat, so let us know what is going on. Our telephone number, 0833-666-091. So do come through and share with us.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. And yeah, definitely, it's Friday. We're getting over the weekend. And this is one of the product that is very, very, very useful. It come in handy. The Imba is a very, very, very useful product. So it comes really in handy as we come to the weekend. There are a lot of happening, church going, funerals, wedding, and all that. And well, you are sorted. You have your hymns. You know, you don't look strange. You don't have to carry so many things. So it's right, your hymnal in your pocket. So quite simply. Quite simple and easy. Yeah, so yeah, download that. It really comes in handy. I can attest to that. Yeah, so make sure that you download it. All right, welcome. And as I said, we're looking at the illegal fishing by foreign trawlers. And that takes away a lot of resources, a lot of tons and tons of fish. Could have made a big difference in many people's, in many Namibians, many people's life. So because of the lack of, vessels, patrol vessels, from the Navy. So yeah, those are the issues. And, so what are you saying? Those who live in the coast and those who are in this industry, what is your experience? What is your take? What is going on from the ground as well? So you're welcome. Telephone number is 0833-666-091. 0833-666-091. So, but we go on. All right. So, at 8:30, as I say, stay tuned. At 8:30, we will have a guest, we're speaking to, in terms of NDP6, and also at around 9 o'clock, we will also have the Minister of Health going deeper, looking at Okay. Yeah. So yeah. No. At 9 o'clock, we're gonna look at the role of the HPV vaccines in the prevention of cervic cancer. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. That's coming up at 9 o'clock, and also at 8:30 we will have then a discussion on NDP6. And job creation. What are the plans of creating job for many, many people that are unemployed in our beautiful, beautiful land of the brave? That's what we're going to look at. So now, Before we get to that, because it's only about 16 minutes before, you know, before we get into our interview. So maybe let's look at the, you know, after the president now, Nandi Ndaitwah, launched the new national development plan, our big road map for the next 5 years. There has been reactions. There has been reaction from the opposition parties, from political analysts, and from also people that you meet, your colleagues, your, you know, the people that you meet on a daily basis, you know? So, and some people already, they're already shaking their head. Some people already shaking their head. They are saying, this is just more of the same thing. Yeah? More political at air. More promises we have heard before. So there are those who already, you know, say this is exactly. So who is right? Is a genuine fresh start? Is this a genuine fresh start? Or are we just on a merry-go-round of a fancy document and little action? Is that the case? So, yeah. Maybe let's go into some of the issues they are pointing out. We shouldn't be just dismissing what people are saying because, you know, it's very important. So first, let's look at what the government is putting on the table. What is really the government putting on the table with this new plan? Just a quick overview of this new plan, NDP6. Well, they are talking about some big, 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 shiny ideas, you know? They're really talking about some big ideas. They are promising about 5,000 internship for young people. These are a few things that I remember. 5,000 internship for young people every single year with a guarantee that 80% of them will get a job afterwards. Okay? So take note of that. So we have to, you know, we have to make sure that we follow up this starting now, you know, we follow up. Okay, where are the 5,000 people that were promised internship, that were promised internship? And can we see, is 80%? The good thing is about this is that here now, there are numbers. there are numbers. So we know, and which is exclusive, we know what is at the target. And we can now be able to ask, hey, this is the target you set, and, you know, and that's a good thing. Yeah. So, and 80% of them will get a job afterward. That's the target. So, and that sounds great. It sounds great. So, especially for our youth who are sitting at home, qualification in their hand and with nowhere to go. Really, that's good. But let's see if that, you know, come to materialize. They're also talking about taking over old, unused government buildings and giving them to small businesses owners. You know, the Ramateks. Imagine that, turning dusty, forgotten offices into centers of creativity and jobs. That's a good idea. Very good ideas. So there's a new youth fund. As you know, there's a new youth fund with over 250 million already. So a new central medical, there's also a new central medical store to fix our medicine shortages. So, and a big one. They are talking about servicing. They are talking about servicing 10,000 plot of land in places like Windu, Wavish Bay, Kietmanshoop, and Rundu. Okay? So 10,000 plot. And as you know, land and housing is the biggest issue on everyone's mind. So I'm just quickly, you know, mention some of this so that we have that on your tongue all the times. And they are looking to the future big time. The plan is full of talk about green hydrogen, our new oil and gas discoveries, and even nuclear energy. So they are setting up a task force for that as well. So for nuclear energy. So they're setting up a task force for that. So, and the president say this plan is the final push. This is the final push to get us to our big dream. Vision 2030. Only 5 years. Only 5 years, and this is the final push to get us there. All right? So she's even told her cabinet ministers that their job performance will be measured against this plan. So they're on the stick, okay? And it sounds serious. It sounds serious. It sounds ambitious as well. It sounds ambitious. Now, then the pushback. So what is the pushback now? We have heard this song before. You know, there are those now saying, hey, hold on, hold on, hold on. We have heard this song before. So now let's flip the coin. We have heard. So why are the opposition parties so skeptical? Why are you skeptical? Why are the political analysts skeptical? Now, the main argument is simple. It's very, very, very simple. We have been here before. We had NDP 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We had the Harambe Prosperity Plan. They are asking a very fair question. A very fair question. What happened to all those? What did the last plan, the NDP 5, actually achieve? That's a fair question. Anyone put up your hands up, you know, to tell us what has it achieved? You know, if you're brave enough, you know exactly what it's achieved. Put up your hands. So that's what they're asking. So what has it achieved? So, and one opposition leader basically said, the ideas are nice. And the ideas are nice. But the ruling party has a long history of over-promising and under delivering. Yeah, it's like, have you been at the mechanic? Excuse me for a minute. So, have you been at, you have this mechanic. It's like a mechanic who tells you all the amazing things he will do to your car. But you always get it back with the same old problems. Yeah. But he promised you, no, this is what, you know, yeah. Tell you amazing things, what he will do to your car. But, you know, when you get your car back, it has all the same problems. So another point out that the new plan talk about fixing land and sanitation. So, but wait a minute. Weren't those exactly same goals in the last plan? If we couldn't fix them, so the question is, if we couldn't fix them in the last 5 years, what make us so sure we can fix them now? So those are really good questions. Those are really good, people want to know. Maybe they don't see the plan. It doesn't sound effective enough to address the issues that they say they're going to address. So, if it feels it feels like we are just, you know, these are not my words. So it feels like we are just copying and pasting our homework from the last year, even though we failed the test. So basically that, okay, we just copy the same thing and paste it, you know, copy and paste our homework from last year. But you failed last year, but you're still copying the same homework from last year, which you have failed. And this is serious. It's not just about, you know, these are people that are concerned just as much as you are concerned. So there's also a deep sense of distrust, a deep sense of distrust. One party leader mentioned the fact that the president has said she actually won't go after past corruption cases. And the argument is, how can we build a new successful house on a rotten foundation? So if there's no accountability of the past failures, what guarantee do we have for future success? So I'm just highlighting some of the reactions to this, okay? And it's, well, there wasn't just criticism. There was not just criticism. There are those, so there were some saying the president is on the right track. Yeah, there are those who said the president is on the right track. But the biggest challenge, as we know, the biggest challenge is not the plan itself. Do you know what is the biggest plan? What is the biggest challenge of Namibia, of Namibians? What is the biggest challenge of Namibians? Class, what is the biggest challenge of Namibians? Now, so he said, well, the plan is not the problem. The plan is perfect, like any other document that we have. They are all good, sometimes hailed the best plans ever. You know, right up there with the best in the world. Making it happen. what is the right word in English? So making it happen, it's like moving. What do they say? Moving a needle in something like that. I had it in my mind, but I can't remember. So it's very difficult. So the biggest challenge that Namibia have is about implementation. That's the worst. Okay, that's the biggest challenge that we have. Now, so where does the truth lie then? You know, where really lies the truth? As always, it's probably somewhere in the middle. It's probably somewhere in the middle. Some economists and analysts have brought up some really important point as well. One economist said that the new plan is good because it has clear targets and focuses on the new industries. And I just mentioned earlier that the thing is there are numbers. You can see there are numbers. There are targets. Okay? So, and also, he said it focuses on new industries. This gives us now investor confidence. But she also warned it can't be business as usual, as the president normally said. It can't be business as usual. I hope that it just doesn't become a rhetoric thing that we use every time. And we have to learn from why NDP5 have failed. So why? That is the key word. Implementazione. Eh? So implementazione is the key word. A plan is just a piece of paper. You and I can write a beautiful plan to get fit. So we can do that. But if we never really get off our couch, if you never get off your couch and go for a walk or run, it's useless. It's absolutely, absolutely useless. So the government can have the best plan in the world, but if the system is slow, if there's bureaucracy, if there's no real will to push things through, at every level, and I mean at every level, then it will just gather dust like all the rest, like all the others. So, now, so, yeah, that's the thing. So, what I think is really, so, what I think is what I think is really missing is from this conversation is the how. Yesterday I was talking about, or day before yesterday, I was comparing our plan to the Botswana one that was also launched in June, and we're looking at the tools that they incorporated in their plan. So now what is missing, I said, is the how. You know, how are we going to guarantee 80% of intern, for example, get a job in this economy? Is the government going to create jobs, or are they expecting the private sector to do that? So how are we paying for all this? That 250 million for the youth fund, Where is it going to come from? We are told the government coffers are tight. We are told that. How will we, the public, hold the minister accountable to those performing agreements we hear? So will those be public? Can we see month by month? If the Ministry of Land is meeting its target, we want to see if the Ministry of Target is meeting target for those 10,000 plots. Without the how, these big promises feel a bit like a dream. Okay? And as one youth leader rightly say, we need realistic, measurable outcomes, not just big ambitions. So, stay tuned. Let's see if we can get to our first guest this morning, and we will be back.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, a very good morning to welcome to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. So, the Namibia 6 National Development Plan, NDP 6, its big, bold plan launched by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, promising to tackle our unemployment crisis head on. We are talking about boosting the employment rate from 63% to 75%, creating 70,000 to 80,000 manufacturing jobs and adding 30,000 green jobs, all by 2030. Sounds like a dream come true, right? But with unemployment already at 36.9% and a growing national debt and massive wealth gap, can this plan really deliver? So that's the question. Can this plan really deliver? Is it just another promise that won't pan out? So joining us this morning is Labour expert, Mr. Herbert Jach, to unpack it all with us. So good morning, Mr. Herbert. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Thank you very much, Mike. Good morning to you and to the listeners.
Yeah. So let's start. What is the big idea behind the NDP 6, and how does it aim to tackle Namibia's unemployment crisis?
Yes, Mike, if I may,
yeah,
on the unemployment figures, if I can comment on them, because the 36% that's been circulated by the NSA,
yeah,
through the census that they did 2 years ago,
mm,
is actually not the correct one. When I went through the document in detail. The 36% is only the number of unemployed people who are still actively looking for work.
Yeah.
There's also a large number of Namibians who've given up looking for work because they've been unemployed for long, long times, for years at times, and they've just given up. So if we add them together, those who are still looking for work and those who've given up, our unemployment is 54%. So the crisis is really, it's mind-blowing.
Ooh, that's...
people over 60. And that's a bit of a dishonesty, I must say, in the way in which the unemployment figures were presented earlier this year.
Yeah.
Just looked at those who are still actively searching.
But when we mention numbers like that, it's like 54%. We don't attach what is happening, you know. Sometimes when we hear this, people, when you hear 54%, it doesn't really sound to be, you know, you kind of, okay, 54%. But how does that really, you know, how do you translate that in what is happening on the ground and in the country in a day-to-day kind of life?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It affects at two level. Number one, half of the population has no chance of finding a job. They're locked out. It's absolutely depressing. We hear also about mental health issue. We hear about suicide.
Mm.
But when you're unemployed and you don't have a chance for a better life and all doors are basically closed on you, that is a severe thing to accept. The other side is for those who have still some form of employment and some form of income, they need to carry an increasing number of people who can't look after themselves anymore.
Yeah.
So even for those with jobs, there is like enormous pressure to sustain a large number of jobs, of relatives, of sometimes friends in the family networks that can't make ends meet anymore. So it puts a whole country and a whole society at stress. This scenario. And of course you have then all the follow-up problems from crime to inequality to violence. All that happens and this is further through this unemployment. So it's a crisis that I sometimes think in the public discussions and when the politicians talk about it, is almost not realizing how bad it actually is. And that we need to really do something different. We cannot do the same things we've done for the last 35 years and hope somehow these things will now lead to better results when they haven't worked for 35 years in terms of employment creation. And I think this is the starting point with which one needs to look at all the proposals like those in NDP 6.
Yeah. Is this now the plan that will bring down this problem?
Well, there are a few things when one looks at it in detail. NDP 6 has what they call Pillar 1, which talks about economic growth, transformation, and so on.
Yeah.
And entails also job creation. So the first one is they look at agricultural value chains development, promoting agriculture. This is not new. This has been mentioned a million times before.
Yeah.
So the point now would be, is something going to be done differently to do that? Because on paper, we've heard that before. Is there going to be an intervention that really promotes now these agricultural value chains, particularly animal and crop production? The second point, which also is not new but holds huge potential, is agro-processing in Namibia.
Yeah.
So not just growing things or raising animals, but processing the things further. Are we going to see that, for example, fruit is turned into jams and juices, etc.? Are we going to see manufacturing of local biscuits and all that in the agricultural sector, that we use our agricultural products more and more? We've had success in the past quite a bit with the fresh produce quotas that now a significant number of fresh produce in our shops must be produced locally. That was a good intervention and a good step.
Yeah.
Will we do something similar now with agricultural processing? If it happens, it will happen in terms of jobs.
Yeah.
But the idea is not new. I remember we had that in the 2013 employment creation policy already 12 years ago. Agro-processing was a strong focus, but it wasn't implemented. It remained in that policy. So for the NDP six with these points, then will it just be a mention on paper, or will we do things very differently?
Mm.
Then there's also manufacturing mentioned, that more needs to be manufactured in the country and also for export. Again, like the other 2 points, this is not new. The issue is, will it be implemented and will we see that happening?
Mm.
Because these sectors, agriculture, agro-processing and manufacturing, they hold the potential for a large number of jobs. So this is in a way not new, but it's mentioned in the NDP.
Yeah, as you're rightly saying, the problem is actually implementation. And we seem to know what to do. Our policies are really addressing the right things, and we speak the right thing. But implementation seems to be a really, really, really issue. To what do you really think? To what do you point this problem to? You know, where is really the problem? We're talking about implementation, but what is it? Is it our working force that are not properly, you know, capable of actually translating this into work, into reality, or what is the problem?
Okay, one needs to look, of course, aspect by aspect. There might be different problems.
Yeah.
It's not only the implementation. Sometimes there's also not a clear strategy. So it's like is a great aim. We must increase manufacturing in the country.
Yeah.
Now, which sectors do we want to manufacture? How do we do it? Do we have a protectionist scheme? Do we have support structures in place to increase this manufacturing?
Mm.
And then, once you have such a very clear and detailed intervention strategy, then you need to look at the implementation. And what we found, for example, with the employment policy of 2013 was there was a detailed implementation plan that mentioned all the different stakeholders and actors that needed to be involved.
Mm.
But then the policy was just seen, it's something from the Ministry of Labor. That time, which was given the job of employment creation. And the other actors almost withdrew. The ministry didn't have the internal capacity to do that. And the different actors had a silo mentality. Each one just doing their little thing in their little corner.
Yeah.
Instead of understanding that here we need to pull things together across sectors.
Mm.
And we need to change our approach very differently. And also dealing, of course, with a hostile global environment that has become worse now since the likes of Trump are back in office, where, for example, some of the export markets will simply be gone because that wild guy in the White House is just dishing out tariffs left, right, and center. So you need to be very clear which markets are you targeting, with whom can you collaborate, where are you not falling into a new neo-colonial kind of relationship. So all these things you need to be very, very clear about and then do it. And you need to sometimes also very clearly protect local industries against unfair competition from elsewhere, subsidize agricultural goods from Europe that find their ways on our shelf, where then butter produced in Ireland or Germany is so cheaper than locally produced butter and things like that. So you need to look at the whole picture, and it's not an easy task.
Mm.
And that is where we fall short, that we think where we just have lofty ideals, or in the past it was like that, lofty ideals, Harambe plans, etc., announcement that nobody should feel left out, that nobody should, that there shouldn't be checks in Namibia.
Mm.
But these announcements were never followed up with any coherent strategy, and then you, of course, need a civil service and other agencies where capable people are in the right positions to implement. That's then the final step.
Mm.
That must be based on merit, this appointment. You need people that are able to implement, that are able to do the job. And we've seen that in some other countries, like in Southeast Asia, where a very merit-driven and technocratic civil service was then very helpful in implementing some of these programs. But first you need to be very clear about your strategies.
Yeah, there's a quick commercial coming up, Mr. Help. Quickly, just a quick one. Yeah.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
All right, welcome back. So, Mr. Helbert, the other challenge is the public debt, which is at around 66.6 of GDP. How can the government fund the NDPC without really sinking deeper into debt?
Well, let's hope they really go into it and look at it.
Hmm.
But you need at this point in time, of course, start with public funds, with state funding, to make them changes, because our private sector is very small, is very parochial, sometimes just looking at their own little corner.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a breakthrough overall, you need to look at sectors where the state plays a developmental role, where the private sector will also come in, but waiting for the private sector to do it, as we've done for 35 years in most cases, namely waiting for foreign direct investment. That was the mantra, and that was exemplified when the export processing zones were introduced in 1995, already 30 years ago. And these things haven't worked in terms of creating the job. So when I look now at the NDP6, besides the aspects we discussed already, they mention green hydrogen. It's not clear at this stage how many new jobs would be created if the project comes off. There's a mention of oil and gas, of course. Likewise, it's not clear how that will work in terms of job creation, because it's all foreign multinational oil companies that come in. They will bring their skilled workers likely from elsewhere. How many jobs would that create locally? And even in the plan, there's nothing concrete except saying oil and gas fields will be somehow developed. Then the plan mentions nuclear industry. Now, that is quite amazing, because nuclear power, it's a very expensive undertaking. If the state were to fund that, we wouldn't have any money left for anything else. And secondly, it's highly capital intensive. This is a specialized industry where we do not have even the skilled people. And in terms of job creation, it will be very, very few. Then it mentions what we've heard many times, micro, small, and medium enterprises. That's been also on the agenda since independence. The problem often is in impoverished communities like most of Namibia, how do small businesses survive when there is no market? And this is particularly the point where the introduction of a universal basic income grant comes in. When you do that, when you have a basic income grant for everybody, you have immediately a local market everywhere in Namibia. And you've seen that in the pilot project in Ochivero, how then these small businesses can survive and thrive. And unfortunately, in that section, the NDP6 doesn't mention the BIG at all. And what we've had in the past and what is likely to happen again is you give some funds for people to start their small businesses, particularly young people. Mm. And the business has collapsed because there is no local market.
Yeah.
And this is a bit the question when I just look at the plan, what will be done differently?
Yeah. And
there are some other aspects, but I don't know if we should go into all of them.
Yeah, and well, it's also speaking about, you know, as you mentioned, labor market. I talk about women are far behind men, and how does now NDP6, for example, plan to bring more women and youth actually into the workforce? That's also doesn't I don't think it's that clear as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and in other pronouncements, the president has already said that they will have kind of a youth business fund, which targets particularly youth. And, of course, there you can also have a gender component, so that it's not only youth overall, but particularly young women that will have access to those funds.
Yeah.
But as I said, the problem is such small businesses need to first have local markets. They cannot begin to think of exporting. They need to first establish them locally and grow over time. And for that, you need to have some spending power. You need to have people living in the vicinity that can buy the product if they want and are not precluded simply because they are just too poor.
Yeah.
And that is currently the scenario. And that's where what we discussed at the beginning, the huge levels of unemployment, they come back to haunt you. And that's the difference in some other countries where small businesses can thrive because there is a market for them at their doorstep.
Mm. So the other things, because we don't have much of the time, it's corruption is also a major concern. So, and that it's an issue in our countries as well. So how can we ensure that funds for job creation and other projects as well don't end up still in the wrong pockets?
Yes. The one is this needs to be completely open and transparent, how the processes are done, how suppliers are chosen. And we must also go back to a system of insourcing.
Mm.
Sometimes with these tenders, you have these kind of troubles.
Yeah.
Large amounts, we know in the Ministry of Health, that used to be a very common focus, large amounts being spent on tenders. Insourcing would mean that you have a department within the ministry, and you have sometimes like bilateral agreements, for example, with India. And the president, Modi, was here just now and seems to be very open to such kind of collaboration. Mm. Then you don't have tenders, but you source this medication cheaply for public institutions without having to go into this tender process. I think overall the tender process in Namibia has opened the doors widely for large-scale corruption, as we've seen, of course, in fishing and now in the energy sector.
Yeah. Now, if NDP6 failed to deliver, so what is the backup plan? Is there plan B for tackling unemployment?
Well, it is
because this is the last push.
Absolutely. Mm. And I think our president is very aware of that.
Yeah.
We've had 35 years of largely empty promises.
Mm.
We've seen how that was also reflected in the votes for the ruling party, because as the ruling party, you are held to account for the outcomes. And I think the pressure is on this administration to this time at least turn things around, that at the end of the 5 years, there must be a lower unemployment rate, even if it's still high. Let's say we come down from 54% to 40%.
Mm.
But at least it would be a turnaround in terms of a different direction. And then if the administration decides to introduce a basic income grant, you will have this multiplier effect of supporting small businesses, but also bringing down poverty dramatically and increasing living standards in the country. And I think for Namibians across, from north to south, this is what they're looking at and what they want to see. It's not a question of having nice speeches, nice plans, nice colorful presentation. It's about making the change in the lives of the majority. And that's what this administration will be measured against.
Yeah. Now, lastly, if you could give President Nandi Ndaitwah one piece of advice to make now NDP6 work, what would that be?
Focus on the things that are achievable right now, and this would be agricultural processing, manufacturing, small businesses supported through a universal basic income grant that have a visible impact very soon. De-emphasize things like this nuclear industry, be skeptical about oil and gas, and push really for mining beneficiation on a large scale. And finally, a priority, combat illicit financial flows. It's mentioned in NDP6. This is estimated by the UN to cost Namibia $10 to $15 billion per year. To stop this would free resources for other interventions. This would be my advice, and I hope we see the progress that we all expect and hope for.
Yeah. Any last words that you probably, maybe something I haven't asked that you deem to be important for people to know about, NDP6?
Well, we've seen in some parts already a new urgency on the side of government, particularly through the president. And let's hope that this will continue and will bring about the changes that are so desperately needed.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Mr. Herbert. And you have given us a lot to chew on. So NDP6 got big dreams, but it is clear that there is a long road ahead, and skills, money, trust, and making sure that no one actually left behind. So thank you very much for always making yourself available to Eagle FM and for sharing that with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Mike, for the invitation.
All right, thanks. All right, that's Mr. Herbert Jach, the social activist, a social justice activist, and also a labor expert in Namibia. So, yes, giving us shedding light, and just we're asking different people, and give us idea what they think about the NDP6, and to create awareness for you to understand, and to have your eyes open, and give due where it's due, and also be able to criticize and ask questions and where it's needed to. So we have 3 minutes before we get to our conversation with the Ministry of Health at 9 o'clock. So if you quickly want to just come in and say something before we hand over to Wintuk, so do please do so and come through right now. So we don't have much to do, but you're most welcome to come through and share your opinion. What's your take of what we have discussed so far?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longeshifa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o miyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, and that's 9 o'clock. We will be crossing now to Windhoek for the Ministry of Health discussions. And let's bring me to the end of my being in the studio this morning. Until tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have Mind Matters at 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. So, for me, I'm crossing to Windhoek, and well, stay tuned for that. For me, Mike Oshavelli, I'm saying goodbye until next week on the same station here on Eagle FM. So, bye for now, and stay tuned for the Windhoek discussion on with the Ministry of Health.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.